Right now we're joined in the studio by Orange County conservative Ashley DeSena. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Aaron.
And I've been talking, obviously, with everyone who comes in about the shooting in Orlando and what is being done locally, what can be done locally and nationally and statewide and worldwide.
Right.
To address it. And I posted all of my thoughts on Chapelboro, and it was a 5-page document, and I don't even know. It was a 5-page kind of rambling document, but you can get it online if you want, and I kind of don't even know where to enter into the conversation.
Right.
So I'm going to let you start. Should we enter into the conversation?
There's so much, so many places you could start. It's almost hard to choose. And we never have enough time to discuss everything.
Right.
But in any case, I caught the very end of your opening monologue yesterday on the show, and just thought it was great. I wish I'd heard the whole thing. So I'm glad that it is up on your website. Mm. I haven't yet gone back to read the whole thing. I apologize,
oh, it's
but
amazing.
I will.
The first part is so much better than the
Oh well, no. I thought it was very insightful. So
well, thank you.
You know, all your readers, please visit the WCHL website and read it. But I think that one place we could start, mm-hmm. One of your major recommendations, it seemed, from at least what I heard, was ban assault weapons and mm-hmm. Assault weapons.
I said the AR-15.
The AR-15.
Yeah.
Right. Which is an example.
One, which is the example, yeah.
Of a semi-automatic rifle. Mm-hmm. So that is, sort of what I'm probably going to annoyingly insist on calling what a lot of people are now calling assault weapons.
No, I think that's fair, because I think a lot of the people who talk about the need to ban assault weapons really don't know anything about guns. So I think that's perfectly fair.
I'm relieved to hear you say that.
And I'm going to count myself in that. And that's why I just kind of limited myself to the AR-15 when I wrote that, just because I don't know enough to say more. But
And I'm certainly not, a weapons expert. But, it was actually, this is an interesting side note, most of the journalists wrote that the shooter in the Orlando attack used an AR-15. But it turns out it's a six-hour MCX, which is very much like an AR-15. Mm-hmm. But it is a semi-automatic rifle, but not quite the same weapon. It's just a little note to make, because not everything is an AR-15.
And I think it's worth making that note. It's worth being accurate about it. So I'm glad you said that, because I wasn't accurate about it. So that's a good point.
You were using what you had available at the time. This just came out. But so I assume that your weapons ban would be federally done, so across the board, all states. And I can understand that position, or maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Please correct me
that. Because I'm 100%. I'm a constitutionalist, so
right.
I'm thinking right now about, as soon as you said that, I'm like mentally going in my head down Article 1, Section 8, and seeing if Congress actually has the power to do that, or if it actually does have to be done on the state by state level, and it might. I don't know.
Right. No. I mean, I think that it might. Have to be done state by state, and that's certainly
I don't think it's a Second Amendment thing. I think you might be right about it being an Article 1 thing. That's a fair point.
It's not necessarily a Second Amendment issue. I wouldn't be in favor of that. Although I would say that if a state decided it wanted to ban a certain type of weapon, then that's up to that state. And, I also appreciated your stance, because you approached the issue by acknowledging that, there is an individual right to own firearms.
Yes.
And I feel like a lot of individuals that I tried to debate on this issue, or any Second Amendment issue, not just, horrific mass shootings like what happened in Orlando, don't start from that point. And they don't start from, as you said, that banning all guns is too much to ask.
Yeah.
And I have little difficulty when people don't start from the position that there is an individual right. So I very much respect your position there, and I think that it highlights that we have more common ground despite our other differences than we might realize sometimes. So, you know, I'm not sure about banning semi-automatic rifles, just because I think there are millions out there now that people privately own. And when we've had a ban before on these types of weapons, the overall crime rate hasn't really seen a reduction. Now, I will say I can look at the list of America's deadliest mass shootings, and it certainly looks like the semi-automatic rifle is becoming a favorite weapon for people who commit mass shootings. Yeah.
And that was my point too, and I think it's important to draw the distinction between people who say, oh, if we ban, say, semi-automatics, we'll reduce the overall crime rate. I don't think that's true at all, and B, I don't think that's the issue that we have to even be worrying about, because the other thing that's happening while we're wringing our hands and obsessing over the crime rate and violent crime in this country is that the crime rate's going down.
It is. Like,
and that's true even if you factor in the fact that we have had a spike in incidents of mass violence like this. Mm-hmm. The overall crime rate is still going down, and we have to consider that. The only reason I said look into banning semi-automatics is because for incidents like this, where someone walks in and starts firing, and within a few seconds they can get off dozens of rounds, that makes it a lot easier for someone to commit an act of mass homicide.
Right.
Which is, I think, the thing that is spiking that we need to think about addressing. And other than that, that's my one argument for looking into banning the AR-15. I don't think it's a crime rate thing overall.
And it does make it easier. I mean, it is a very effective weapon. But, you know, for someone like me, and, well, lots of other people, it's seen as a very useful weapon for home defense, which sounds like it might be a bit above and beyond what a person might need. Mm-hmm. I hear that argument quite frequently. Why don't you just use a shotgun? Well, a person with my stature, I'm pretty slight, you know, an AR or AR-15, there I go, I said it, a semi-automatic rifle does have its advantages. Like, there's far less recoil, you can attach lights to it, things like that. And whereas a shotgun would be, some of them are just so large, they're difficult for me to manipulate effectively.
Lights are a good point, too, because we're talking about nighttime is, yeah.
Yeah, well, exactly. And if you have an intruder come in your home, it can be useful for, you know, momentarily disarming them, which could be all you need to have to get an advantage. Mm-hmm. And I'm not any kind of, like, home defense or tactical expert. I don't want to sound like I am, but I could see why someone can make the argument.
It's fair to say that neither of us is an expert on any of the things that we're talking about.
But it is a useful weapon for people to have for the purposes of home defense. You know, I don't think that there's many people who just want to go around and use it for hunting. Probably not. I'm not much of a hunter. I could be wrong. But other than that, and just having fun taking it to the range.
Yeah.
you know, it's not necessarily the most practical things to have in all situations. Right. But it is. I don't think that banning them outright is really going to decrease, you know, maybe even the rate of mass shootings, because in American history, there have been a lot of mass murders that have taken place with just handguns.
Right.
You know, some of the incidents at the top of the list, like Virginia Tech, for example, that was just handguns.
Yeah. Or like pipe bombs or things like which is the other thing. Because that was the thing that I was thinking about, too.
Exactly. Or planes or pressure cookers or fertilizer bombs.
Yeah.
There's lots of different weapons.
I think it
still
makes it harder for someone to commit an act of mass homicide if you take away the semi-automatic. But it's not going to make it go away.
Well, I still think that it would be really easy for someone who was highly motivated to kill a lot of people, and that was the weapon that they decided to use. I think it would be very easy to obtain.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at the San Bernardino incident, which, you know, those weapons were illegal in California. But I do wish, you know, if we're talking about gun control, I wish that straw buyers, which is what happened in San Bernardino, were prosecuted the way they should be, but a lot of straw buyers just get off because the police don't follow up with those people. They don't. I mean, it's illegal to buy a gun for someone and give it to them. That's a straw purchaser. But police don't aren't as heavy-handed with that as they should be. Also, you know, I just read about today that another popular gun control option doing expanding background checks. Well, you know, I would argue that the FBI actually needs to conduct the follow up on the background checks it conducts, because in tens of thousands of cases each year, it's found out, you know, after a gun is purchased, is in the hands of a person, that they didn't pass the background check, but the FBI doesn't even follow up with them.
Right, right. And which doesn't mean they can't do both.
That's a problem.
They definitely should follow up.
Yes.
And in addition to that, if we want, we can also talk about expanding. But I think you're right. They should start with following up on the ones
they should
do.
Start with enforcing the laws that are on the books. And I think that that would go a long way to preventing, you know, crimes by people, you know, who are either have bad records, who aren't eligible to buy a gun because they can't pass the federal background check, or people that get a firearm, you know, and they've already failed the background check personally. But, you know, moving on, one of the things you also talked about is you were concerned about the media coverage of the Orlando shooting.
I was concerned about it more yesterday than today, because I was sitting there when I was writing what I wrote yesterday. I was sitting in Panera, and I had done I sat down to start writing this after walking in, and they've got the newspaper rack, and just sort of casually picked up USA Today, and it's got this big front page coverage, and there's virtually no reference whatsoever to the fact that it was LGBT people who were targeted. It was all about terrorism. It was Americans were attacked. It was Islam with a little sidebar about gun control. And you had to look all the way down to the bottom right to see one mention of the fact that it was a gay club that was targeted. You go on went on FoxNews.com, and I don't know because I don't have TV, unfortunately, but go on FoxNews.com. And absolutely no reference whatsoever to the fact that it was a gay club. CNN, you had to dig real deep. And then CBS news coverage on our station earlier yesterday, it was kind of the same thing. And I may or may not have spent the entire 3 hours on the air yesterday snarking about the fact that CBS just wasn't going out of its way to avoid mentioning
that it was a particular group
of people targeted. Yeah,
no, and
that might have been after every single CBS coverage.
I think that's fair for you to be critical. You know, I was not necessarily impressed with the journalistic coverage of this either, sort of for a different reason, but sort of not, because I guess you've saw a lot of coverage where they are tying it to, you know, Islamic terrorism, radical extremism, et cetera. Whereas, you know, I felt like some outlets were tripping over themselves to avoid that that connection. But I think that it's important, you know, not only to acknowledge that apparently this person was motivated by some sort of extreme Islamic ideology, but that whatever he subscribes to teaches that homosexuals are meant to be wiped off the face of the earth. And I don't know how you can talk about Islamic terrorism without mentioning, you know, this was specifically targeted because he hates these people.
Yeah, and apparently now we're learning because he is these people.
Could be.
The other thing that we're just finding out today is that, and this makes me feel so sad, because are so many people in this situation of being, and it's not even just Islam, although I have no doubt that there's more people who face this situation within Islam, but everywhere, who are brought up in, you know, conservative, maybe religious, Islamic in this case, families who are brought up to believe that homosexuality is wrong, wrong, evil, sinful, wrong, wrong, wrong. And they grow up and they start to find out that they're gay themselves. And the thing that I said yesterday was this happened because this guy walked into a club full of human beings and didn't see any human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll stand by that. But if this is the case of what we're learning today, that also means that he didn't see any human beings when he looked in the mirror either. And that that just makes me so sad.
Right. But I think that it's there's not a moral equivalence between what this person did and a law like HB2. And I've seen that all over Twitter. I've seen that from our local officials. I've seen that in any number of editorials and opinion pieces and major publications. And I just don't get it. Yeah. I don't think murdering 50 or 49 people, hopefully the number hasn't gone up from the injured.
Yeah.
Telling people where to go to the bathroom, as stupid as that is morally equivalent. Or somebody who doesn't want to bake a cake for someone because they oppose the wedding ceremony based on their religious grounds is just not the same.
I don't think it's a moral equivalent. I do think that any law like that, and go back to Amendment 1 and all of the laws that have been passed historically, by states and by federal governments and by localities against gays and lesbians and bisexuals and transgender people, create the foundation for a culture that encourages people to think the way about gays and lesbians that this guy apparently did. I think it does create that precondition or that foundation.
Well, I mean,
I think if you take away HB2, the foundation is still there, but that's because there are so many other things like HB2 that pile on top of each other and have been for decades and centuries that create that foundation.
Well, I think if you take away HB2, that foundation is still there. I mean, certainly, you know, not everyone in America is, you know, forward thinking as on a whole as I think that we might be, is going to overnight accept people who are different from them and people who haven't traditionally been, you know, considered normal, you know, just human beings, as you were saying. But I think even if you take all of that away, what he was brought up thinking and the religious teachings he subscribed to is still there. And I think that informed his hate more than anything. Whether he himself was homosexual or not, I don't know. But I mean, I cannot make excuses for people who have this kind of radical ideology because, as you were saying in your talk yesterday, we have to, you know, basically educate people to have like a common moral grounding. And I think that that's true. And I think that people like this just cannot live. It's okay to have prejudices, but you have to live with other people despite your prejudices.
Yeah.
And this person could not do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important for everyone to realize that, you know, what the source of his hate was. I mean, he was basing this on what I'm not, you know, an Islamic religious expert or anything like that, but what he thought was Islamic teachings, and that is apparently what he was acting on or he was pledging allegiance to, and so, you know, there are tens of thousands potentially of Americans. There are 3 million Muslims living in America, and according to Pew Research polls that were conducted, you know, just a few years ago, 5% of them say that jihadist attacks are rarely appropriate. 7% say they're sometimes appropriate, and 1% say that they're often appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's hundreds of thousands of people. So I think it is a cause for concern. I mean, I think that we need to take warnings from what's happening in Europe now, and look at things that are happening where they are making exceptions for certain groups of people, like polygamous marriages are allowed in Islamic enclaves in parts of Europe. You know, in Germany, they just allowed a 14-year-old to marry her 20-year-old cousin based on Sharia law. So, you know, we do have to have a common moral code that is societally enforced, or, you know, what do we have?
Mm-hmm.
Really, is what I was left with.
It's 4:53. We got to let you go.
All right. Thanks,
I keep
Aaron.
Looking at the clock, and every single time we come on, I look, and it's like, oh, God, it's almost 5 o'clock. But
yeah.
Ashley DeSena, thank you so much.
Thank you.